church that often spoke of the literal presence of demons and angels in this world. Not figuratively. Not, oh, that person that stopped to help me change my flat tire was a real angel. But literally in the presence of demons and angels among us. Now, the angel part I could always get behind, right? The idea that there are beings of heaven that watch over us, interact with us, that engage with us, that part seemed reassuring. The idea that a loved one might still be with us in some way, looking over our shoulder, caring for us. But it was often the conversations on the devil and demons that bothered me a little bit. Maybe it was because of our image of them. Too often when we hear words like devil and demons, our views go to red-skinned monsters with horns on their head and forked tails and a pitchfork. And of course, the demons are smaller versions of that, little impish, like cherubs that turn bad in high school, right? It's that image we get, that almost cartoonish image, which is not biblical. That image of Satan, that image of devil and demons is not biblical. That comes from the 14th century. Dante wrote in the Divine Comedy about the nine circles of hell, and it's there that we draw this image of these monstrous red creatures. But I think this image damages the reality of demons, damages the reality of this story we hear from the gospel today. This image, which is so ingrained in our cultural zeitgeist, because it doesn't come from Scripture, because we've gotten so used to it in media, in movies, and TV, and cartoons, it's been co-opted by our culture into advertising. This coercion of our faith into this media form has softened our view of demons. I mean, after all, when we name a hard-boiled egg and paprika dish after the devil, well, truly, how scary could he be? But when we step back and look at the presence of evil in scriptures, of the presence of demons in our daily walk, we find something different. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 9th chapter, Francis read for us, on the next day, when they'd gone down from the mountain, Jesus and Peter and James and John had gone up the mountain. This was the Transfiguration. Jesus had gone up. He had been praying to God. His face had become dazzling white. Moses and Elijah had appeared and were talking with him. And Peter and James and John were so overwhelmed by the situation. Peter said, "Let's build three little houses for you and Moses and Elijah. We'll just live up on top of the mountain forever." And Jesus said, "That's just stupid. We have to get back to daily life. Quit talking like that." So they come back down the mountain. This is the first thing that happens. A man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son. He's my only child." He talked about that motherly love, that parental love. "This is my only child," the man says. "Please help him." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you?" Kind of a harsh response from Jesus. This guy comes and says, my kids have these convulsions. I asked your disciples to fix it. They couldn't fix it. And Jesus is like, "Oh, how much longer do I have to deal with you?" I think he was talking about the disciples there. I think his disappointment came in that the disciples couldn't heal the boy. That was his frustration. It kind of comes out bad in the writing here that it seems like he's saying it to the father. But he tells the father, "Go and bring me your son." So the man brings his son. Says, while he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, gave him back to his father. All were astounded at the greatness of God. Now we read a story like this from 2,000 years ago, and they didn't know what brought them on, and they didn't know what was causing them. Just all of a sudden he'd be fine, all of a sudden he's thrashing about the ground and foaming at the mouth. And it sounds very much like what a seizure could be. So it's easy to look at this story to discount the idea that the man thought it was a demon that was attacking his son, right? Because we see at the end, it says Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, right? Just like Jesus had healed the man who was blind, and the man who couldn't walk, and the woman who was bleeding, Jesus healed him, healed his epilepsy, and then the boy was able to go on with his life. But when we read the story like that, it discounts the presence of evil in our world. This man, for whatever was causing the convulsions, this man saw it as evil in the world that was attacking his son, that was causing his son to be harmed in this way. When we dismiss the presence of evil in our daily path, when we close our eyes to thoughts of demons and angels as mythological fairy tales told to scare children into eating their vegetables, we miss something vitally important to our faith. There is evil in this world. Oftentimes, we chalk up our struggles to poor luck or happenstance or bad coincidence that just happens to befall us, and many times that is the case. But when we configure the idea of evil into a cartoon character, we forget how real and literal evil is in our world. This past Wednesday, we gathered here at Grand Christian Church in our fellowship hall for a roundtable discussion. It was a good group. About 40 people came to be a part of it. There were folks from our church. There were friends of ours from the Dialogue Institute. Most of the folks there are Turkish Muslims. There was also a lady who was Jewish who represented the Interfaith Council in Kansas City. We had a roundtable discussion on Lent and Passover and Ramadan. We got to learn about these large faith events and how we practice them in our faiths and what they mean and where they overlap, ways that they look like each other and feel like each other. It was a wonderful conversation. We've done several events with the Dialogue Institute over the last few years, and they're always a good conversation and a good time spent together. It was so disheartening and so heartbreaking to wake up on Friday morning and see this story of evil in New Zealand. This story of this evil person so filled with hatred and anger that they went to communities of faith where people were gathering for prayer and worship, where people were gathering to grow closer to God, and he walked in and he perpetrated violence in that moment. He delivered evil upon them. So heartbreaking to read those stories. 50 people, men, women, and children killed. There is evil in our world. And we see it in these large events like this, this macro evil with terrorist attacks and bombings and people that we see huge events like this, and we go, yes, there's evil in the world, but it's still separated from us a bit. The fact of the matter is, you have a better chance of winning the lottery than you do of being personally harmed or injured or killed in a terrorist attack. You have a better chance of being struck by lightning twice than of that happening. So we read these events in the paper, we see these events on the news, and even though it may strike us that there's evil in this world, it still seems separated from us. It seems far away. The story of evil that we get in Luke this morning is a personal story. This is a young man who's living his life, he's walking this path before him, and he's just struck down time and again. He's shaken to his very core by this thing that he sees as an evil upon him. We all have demons that we deal with, evils that we confront every day in our daily life. They don't make headlines. They don't make the 6 o'clock news, but that doesn't make them any less scary, any less destructive to my journey. While my demon is not some inbred white supremacist whose mom didn't love him enough, that doesn't mean my demon isn't terrifying to me, doesn't harm me, doesn't interfere with this life, this faith that I have. My demon may not be a terrorist. My demon might be addiction, or lust, or greed, or loneliness, anger, or jealousy, or obsession, temptation. And my demon's smart. My demon never comes at me when I'm really low, when I'm really weak. It's when things are going well. It's when I'm happy and I'm not thinking about it. And I'm just walking along and enjoying this life that God has given me. That's when my demon rears its ugly head. That's when it strikes out at me. That's when it grabs me deepest and knocks me to the ground and shakes my faith. They pull us from the path God has for us. They divert us and destroy us and defeat us. Your demon may not grab an automatic weapon and shoot up peaceful people, but that doesn't mean when it grabs you, it doesn't leave its mark. It doesn't scar you. It doesn't hurt you. When we face our evils and our demons, they beat on us and weaken us. They make us feel hopeless and lost and worthless. And far too often, we accept our plight. Like the boy in the story, I'm sure the boy and his father just figured this is how life is going to be. You're just going to be walking along, and from time to time, you're going to drop on the ground in convulsions and shake, foam at the mouth, and hurt yourself. And that's just going to be part of your life. You just got to learn to live with it. How often do we just accept our plight? That's just a monkey on my back. That's just a demon I have to deal with. That's just what my life is going to be like. But the scriptures tell us that Jesus rebukes these unclean spirits, that Jesus drives these demons from our midst. When we feel most hopeless, it's Jesus that's offering us hope. When we feel most lost, it's the light of Jesus that shows us the way. When we're feeling at our most worthless, it is Jesus that confronts that evil and offers us salvation. Jesus that calls out these evils and exposes them to the light, drives them out, and sets us free. Philippians 3:21 tells us he will transform the body of our humiliation. Every time I wrestle with my demons, every time I come out ashamed, why couldn't I beat it? Why do I have to keep dealing with it? Why won't it just go away? Why won't it leave me alone? I thought I was over this. I thought I was past this. I thought I was better than this. Remember last week we read the scripture about Jesus in the wilderness, and Satan came to tempt him three times, and after the third time of being rebuked, I wish scripture would have said, so Satan just gave up and went home. But that's not what it said. It said Satan went away until an opportune time. That's what my demon's like. My demon read the same playbook. Right? Every time I beat it, I know it's not gone forever. It's waiting for me out there somewhere on the path. I'm going to stumble into it again. I'm going to turn a corner, and there it's going to be. Jesus rebukes those unclean spirits. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that enables him in all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm in the Lord in this way. There is evil in this world. There is temptation and loss and struggle. When we're exposed to it, we cringe, we weep, we lament. But it is time for us to do more, to confront this evil with grace, to confront this evil with hope, to confront this evil with the love of God that we know in Christ Jesus. God loves you and redeems you and draws you close. God wants to set you free from those chains, those evils, those demons that hold you back. Jesus wants to rebuke those spirits and life back to the Son. All you have to do is let him. That evil, that demon, that sin is waiting for me somewhere on my path. But I don't walk this path alone. I walk this path with Jesus Christ. And I know that the next time my demon pops up, I'm reminded that I'm not here alone. Whatever demons are waiting in your path this week, this month, this year, whatever demons you have to face, whatever demons are lying in wait to throw you off your way, to take away your life that God has blessed you with, know that